والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس كلوا مما في الأرض حلالا طيبا ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders and sisters listening at home, today's Jumu'ah, I wanted to remind ourselves and stress the importance and try and remind ourselves and stress the importance of halal, consuming halal, and how important this is and how it is a lifeline for all of our ibadah, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is expected from us, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the Quran in numerous places in terms of what we consume and that which we consume, where is it coming from. So numerous places in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us of this, and to somewhat which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied as well, that as time goes and time comes nearer to the day of Qiyamah, people will, to a certain extent, would not bother as to understanding or seeing or checking where their wealth and where, what they are eating, where is it coming from. This Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied. And we see this in our life as well, and we tend to see us as becoming, and our communities and our people, our families become extremely, extremely relaxed in this respect. Especially in the times where, specifically speaking about food and what we consume. In terms of halal and haram, there are many things. In terms of how we acquire wealth, the wealth that we acquire. But in terms of what we consume, the food that we consume, in the industry and in the time where so much food we are getting from outside, from restaurants and takeaways, what we are cooking at home as well, and how much we are consuming, to take into consideration all of this, we need to be extra careful and to understand and to do whatever is required, to do the due diligence in terms of understanding that what we are eating, is it permissible for us to eat, or is it severing that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us and says, كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. Eat from the earth, eat from the earth, the provisions of this earth, which is halal and tayyib, which is lawful and halal. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. And do not follow in the footsteps of shaytan, for indeed he is your open enemy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in numerous verses of the Quran, this is just one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to eat which is lawful, that which is lawful, and that which is tayyib, halal. What is halal? That meat or poultry which has gone through the process of zabah according to the sharia. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken. The animal was live at the time of slaughter, and a Muslim person is slaughtering this. This is in terms of something which is halal for us to consume, in terms of, you know, the particular type of process that needs to go through for something to be halal. Now, if a person was to go and steal an animal like a chicken or lamb, then obviously that's not permissible, even if you do halal of it. But what we're looking at is how to make an animal halal for consumption. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And do not follow in the steps of shaytan. You see, shaytan, he has many strategies as to how to take us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to sever our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the strategies that he has is that he gives us a sense of understanding that, okay, it states halal, so this is halal. Eat it, no problem. This person is saying this is halal, so eat it, doesn't matter. This looks halal, so eat it, doesn't matter. Yeah? This is cheap, yeah? And this is very expensive, so this is fine as well. Everyone is eating it. The whole Muslim community is eating from this shop, or the whole Muslim community is consuming this. So it must be fine. There's no problem in it. The mass amount of people eating it, that becomes a form of validity of this particular meat or poultry becoming halal. And that's not the reality. The reality is no. Yeah? So many times people question. And if they're told that, you know, this place, there's a doubt. This restaurant, this takeaway, or this butcher's, this particular product that we all are consuming, there's a doubt. So the person that's been told, he asks the question, that's interesting then. There's so many scholars that eat it. There's so many Muslims that eat it. Does that mean they all ate halal? The question in itself is wrong. It's to become aware of what is right and what is wrong. What are we being made aware of? Have we done the checks in terms of what we are eating and consuming? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cautioning us and reminding us, be very careful as to what you eat. Yeah? Be very careful as to what you eat. Because I will explain that this actually becomes a detrimental factor in our ibadah totally being destroyed. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَيُّمَا جَسَدَ نَبَدَ مِنْ صُحْتِ فَنَّاوَ أَوْلَى بِهِ. That any portion of your body that is being nourished and developed through haram, فَنَّاوَ أَوْلَى بِهِ. That the nar is better for it. In other words, a body that has been nourished and developed through haram can never ever enter Jannah. Cannot enter Jannah. It will enter into Jahannam first, then go into Jannah. But first Jahannam, then Jannah. First a nar, then Jannah. Then Jannah. So this is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, he states in a hadith, he says, Inna Allah tayyib. Inna Allah tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept anything except that which is tayyib, which is pure, which is halal. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ مُسْلِمٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders and commands the mu'mineen that which He commanded the mursaleen. And who are the mursaleen? The anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Those who are sent, mursaleen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran commands them, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ. O messengers. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ. Eat from that which is طَيِّب and halal. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And then do righteous deeds. This is what the command is to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Similar is the command to us as well. You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in numerous places mentions about, you know, how we consume our wealth. Today I'm particularly focusing about what we consume, the food that we consume. But what we also understand is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about wealth, and this is really important, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about wealth, yeah, He talks about that interest usually is not permissible, it is haram. It is haram. Yeah? It is totally impermissible. Allah, where He talks about interest, and to give the reality of interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the punishment of it, and the impact of it. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about salah, zakah, salam and hajj. Where in the hadith we find out about the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person who misses salah, for a person who doesn't keep his fast, for a person who lies and backbites and slanders, who commits zina and etc. There's a punishment for all of those. In terms of interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. Hear the announcement of a war against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those, and whoever is in interest and usual, in interest, dealing in interest, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. This is something that we consume and we don't take care of. Halal is the same situation. You see, when Muslims first come into this country in 1950, my granddad's age, or our granddad, some of you may have been here in the 1960s and 70s. First, you know, people that come into this country, one of the first groups of Muslims that come into this country around the 1950s. If they had not taken this aspect of consuming halal meat and poultry to this extent and with such importance, today me and you would not have the slightest shadow, the slightest little bit of halal. Imagine the Muslims in the 1950s. If they were happy to consume the Ahl Kitab Zariha, which is permissible under certain circumstances. The Ahl Kitab Zariha. That Zariha which has been slaughtered by a Christian who has taken the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that Jewish person who has taken the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ahl Kitab Zariha. If the Muslims in 1950 who didn't have any provision to halal, if they were content with that, they would have continued eating Ahl al-Kitab Zabiha, and today me and you would have been eating Ahl al-Kitab Zabiha. But they persevered in the 1950s. They went through that effort that we will only eat that, which is the Zabiha of ours, Muslim Zabiha. And they probably didn't eat meat or poultry for maybe weeks and weeks and 2 weeks and once in a month. But they kept to that. And with that, they become an industry where the industry was that we have to cater for this large market, because business is based on the market, the consumer. If there's a need in the market for a particular area or for a particular type of consumer, the market will provide and people will do business through it. So the Muslims continue to increase and increase and increase, and today, because of them persevering, today we are eating halal. Likewise, if we, from the 1950s, took care of the way we do business and buy our houses and do our business transactions and put it into the system, that us as Muslims we will never deal in interest, today we would have had many options of doing transactions and buying houses and doing business where we would not have to resort to interest-bearing mortgages or interest-based loans. We let that go, and so many Muslims in this country, what did they say? Oh, it doesn't matter, one is fine, one is permissible, one house is permissible. And now, it's become a norm. And such a norm, that not one house, people are doing businesses on interest. People are doing businesses on interest. People are buying cars on interest-based loans. £30,000, £35,000 is a car, £40,000 is a car. There's no need, but yet they are paying interest on it. 5%, 6%, 7%. Because over time, people have become desensitized by the reality of that interest is impermissible. Like the way, you know, in terms of zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, not to say in the Quran, don't do zina. He didn't say, don't do zina. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't go near zina. Don't go near zina. Why? Because it's a very slippery slope. It's a very slippery slope. You get into zina, and there's many forms of zina. The zina of your eyes, the zina of your ears, the zina of your hands, the zina of your mind. Many forms of zina. Don't go anywhere near it. It's a very slippery slope. In terms of interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we'll be helping min Allah and Allah. Hear the announcement of war against Allah and the Prophet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in terms of what we consume, consume halal, that on which poultry and meat, the process of dhabiha has been done correctly. And to find out if it is done correctly, we need to make sure that we are checking. We are doing everything possible to actually find out. And we're not going just based on face value, like the way we take care of ourselves. If we become ill, or if one of our family members become ill, and they need blood, they need a blood transfusion, we understand, we all know that there are different blood groups, A, AO, and etc. So forth, different types of blood groups. Doctors will check what blood does this person require. If they were to put the wrong blood in, what would happen? Sudden death? What would happen? The person would die immediately. What are the syringes we are having put inside us? We make sure that the doctor is opening that syringe in front of us, that needle in front of us. Yeah? For those of us that have been for vaccines, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all illnesses. But the doctors and the nurses, they are trained to open the needles in front of us. Why? So to clear the misunderstanding that this needle has been used on the person before. Because if it is used on the person before, there's a very high chance that this person's illness can be transferred to this person, and etc. and so forth. We are taking care of ourselves. We are taking care of our bodies. We do not want to be infected. We do not want to die. We don't want diseases. This is the same that we need to check. What are we consuming? What is the food that we are consuming? The needle that goes in us, that is infected, that will have a hemorrhage and that will have a blockage and that will cause some infection in our bodies that will cause us death. The food that we eat, if it's not the right type of food, that will have a problem and that will have an effect and a severe detrimental effect on our iman, our belief, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we consume haram, one of the first things that it affects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is on us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with halal. Allah has provided us with halal. We have been careless. And we have decided to not take care of what we are consuming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is on us. This is the first thing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is on us, then all the mercy that was there through the angels and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is withdrawn from us. What we see is our life lacks balance. Our life lacks balance. You see, when we have a problem in terms of spirituality, when we have a problem in terms of spirituality, you know, if it's something to do with our physical body, a person sees an immediate effect. If a person was to eat food that has gone off, it's gone bad, but he ate it. We went to the shop, ate some food, and the food is not fresh. What will happen? A person will start to vomit. He will start to vomit. Food will, you know, it will come out. The body will not accept it. In terms of spirituality, if a person eats haram, what happens? One of the things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. Secondly, his heart suffers. His spirituality suffers. When his spirituality suffers, then what happens? Is that all the actions that he was doing, he doesn't enjoy. He doesn't enjoy the recitation of the Quran. He doesn't enjoy coming to the masjid. He doesn't enjoy fasting. And when he doesn't enjoy ibadah, then he is more vulnerable to shaitan, and then shaitan pushes him, and easily he is persuaded into the wrong. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith. Listen. One hadith he says that there's a person who, you know, he was traveling, and when he was traveling, you know, his description is that his hair is all over the place, his clothing is, you know, you can see signs of suffer and trouble. He raised his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's saying to Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. And the hadith Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, but the reality is that what he has worn is from haram. What he has consumed is from haram. And what he has nourished himself is from haram. So where will his dua be accepted? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, where will his dua be accepted? A person's dua is not accepted. He severs the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he consumes dua. All of our ibadah is based on what we are eating. All of our ibadah is based on what we are eating. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied that nearer the time, a time will come when people will not care where they are eating from, where they are getting their wealth from, whether it is halal or haram, whether it is halal or haram. And this is really extremely, extremely important for us. This is in fact the lifeline of our ibadah, the lifeline of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lifeline. That's why Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that portion of our body, or any part of our body, or our body that has been developed and nourished through haram, will never ever enter. Will not enter. A person will not be encouraged to do any form of ibadah. Any form of ibadah. If he is nourished from haram. So that's why it's very important, paramount for us, to be ensuring, to check, what are we eating? Where are we eating from? What are we eating? Like the way we do checks in terms of when we go to the doctors, or whatever we have put inside us, a needle, even a plaster. If someone has cut himself, he's bleeding, he'll make sure that it's a clean plaster that he put, it's a clean tissue. Even if it's not a plaster, it's a clean tissue. He holds the wound down because he knows that if that tissue or that plaster is not clean, then his hand or his finger will become infected. To such an extent that if the infection increases, then that particular portion, that limb will have to be cut off. Because it will not heal. This is the reality of our iman. Our iman is being infected by what we are consuming. So check what we are eating. Do whatever is required. And today we have, alhamdulillah, the representatives of an organization called HMC, Halal Monitoring Committee. They're going to be giving out some leaflets today, outside. And this is that one. This is a body, not the only body, just to make it clear. A body, an organization that goes through that extreme length to ensure that what the consumer is eating, has gone through that rigorous process to ensure what the consumer is eating is halal. Yeah. From the time that animal is life, that there's a Muslim person doing the zabah. The animal is life. It's not stunned, it's not gassed, and it is life. The zabah is done according to the way it is expected to do, according to the Sharia. And then it gets to the consumer, and the consumer. Otherwise, the industry is full of fraud. The meat and poultry industry is full of fraud. We've seen it many a times. I've got some statistics over here. Some things that we have read in the news from back in 2008, where there was, in Scotland, non-halal beef was sold as halal. And the family was prosecuted for it. But what about those people that have already consumed it? In America, there's one person who went to a pizza shop. And he ate a pizza. He ordered a pizza. He ordered a halal pizza. And he found, you know, remnants of pork or pepperoni. He's suing that company for so many millions of pounds. Also, understand that he's suing the company for so many millions of pounds, but the reality is he is consumed halal. But how can we avoid this? By checking where we are eating. In 2011, halal meat, in the halal meat industry, there was found kangaroo and pork meat. Kangaroo and pork meat. And this is in South Africa, but even in this country. For example, the horse meat scandal, 2004, in halal meat that me and you were probably consuming. Horse meat was labeled as halal meat. Horse meat was labeled as halal meat. This is back in 2004. At that time, everyone was in the hype. All the Muslims were in the hype. Oh, we have to be very careful. But over time, very relaxed about it. The effect of that news has gone. Just recently, 2013, halal sausages served in schools. Traces of pork are found. Halal sausages, traces of pork are found. How many of our children go to schools and they are eating whatever is on the menu? And it just states halal. Who is checking whether it is halal? Who is checking whether the supplier is the same supplier that was there yesterday and the year before and the month before? No one is checking this. But our children are consuming this. And when we consume haram, what are the effects? A person's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severed. He lacks our barakah. He lacks our mercy. Du'as are not accepted. He cannot be encouraged. He cannot encourage himself to do good. He doesn't enjoy ibadah. 2013, traces of pork found in prisons. In the prison industry. Traces of pork found. Just recently, in 2020, there was one shop passing on poultry, which is for non-human consumption. For non-human consumptions. Which was to be used for pet food. But yet that was sold in a shop as halal. Where do we read it? Generally find this? Where products are cheap. Where the industry is becoming extremely, extremely difficult. Where the government is trying to restrict halal and kosher food. That's why halal and kosher food is increasing in price. So what do? We look for the cheaper option. And if it says halal, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from what we are eating. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to eat halal. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage, the understanding, the guidance to continuously check what we are eating. And to support these organizations that are doing this for us. Because the reality is that for us in this fast-paced life of ours, we want to eat, check on Uber. Uber Eats, Just Eat. Or you say halal, fine, go and order and eat it. Who is there? Who's behind it? No one knows. What is the meat that is being consumed? And this is the reality. That millions of chickens are being slaughtered. Millions of chickens. 109 million chickens each month are slaughtered. And out of that, 93% is stunned. And possibly mechanically killed. So 109 million chickens each month. 93% of it is stunned. And we are eating this. But there's only 7% of that 109 million is not stunned as gas. And we are unsure about it being halal. This is the reality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a form of reminder for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reality and the understanding and the urgency to check what we are consuming and how we are consuming with regards to food and what we are earning and how we are.